declare that you are all. You are all that we need. You are all that we want to serve and follow as we turn to your word. We thank you that you have given us your word with so much guidance as to how we should live our lives. Holy Spirit, would you come and make the word alive? Not just what we talk about this morning, but every day when we interact with your word and we think about your word and you remind us about your word, may it live within us. May it guide our steps. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. Thank you to our team. It was good to worship with you. So we are nearly at the end. We probably got about 3 messages left in our series, Reigning in Life. So I'm not going to put up the next verse. Let's see if you can remember it from heart. For how much more will you know it? You've not memorized it yet. Let me read it for you then. You need to memorize it. For if by the trespass of one man, that was Adam, his sin in the garden, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I think what just struck me now as I read it is it's not complicated. God doesn't make it difficult. He doesn't say we have to do this or this or this and these 7 things and those 3 steps. He says what we need to do is we need to receive the abundant provision of God's grace and the gift of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. All of that is locked up in salvation. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, He is the one that leads us on a path where we are to reign in life. As we unpack the rest of Scripture, there is some clear guidelines, there's some clear things we need to focus on. But just this on face value, if we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and as the Savior of our life, we are put on a different path. We are no longer on the path of death and destruction. We are put on the path of life and reigning in life. Can we just thank God for a moment, just there where you are? Just close your eyes and in your own words, just thank Him for salvation. Thank Him for the fact that He sent His Son to save you. Lord, thank you that you found us when we were in the mud. You pulled us out of the mud and you put us on a rock, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can build on that rock. We can stand on that rock. We never need to be in the mud again. Thank you that the work of salvation is complete. It covers everything. And that everything that still binds us and still holds us back and still wants to connect us with the reign of death in our life doesn't have to be that way, because the cross has conquered it all. The blood of Jesus is the highest sacrifice and the highest authority. We thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you that you've put us on this path of reigning in life. Amen. So this morning we want to look at wisdom. And if we talk about wisdom, obviously we're going to look at King Solomon. We finished with Saul and we finished with David. We want to move on to Solomon. The wisdom of Solomon. And his wisdom is well known. We know the stories. I think the famous story for me is the 2 mothers who come with a baby. And they're arguing about whose child it is. And Solomon says, well, let's cut the baby in half and give half to this lady and half to the other lady. And then the true parent said, no, don't, rather give it to the other one. And Solomon in his wisdom determined, he found a solution for a very difficult problem. I think if we try and bring that into the context of where we find ourselves today, we find ourselves today in a context where one group, political party, will say something and the other one will say exactly the opposite based on exactly the same facts. So often in marriages, one spouse will perceive something in a certain way. The other spouse will perceive it in another way based on the same circumstances. We sort of live in a world where it has become difficult to discern what the truth is. And yet Solomon, in this very difficult context, has the wisdom of God in his life to discern the truth. And may we be like that. So the story unfolds after Solomon is anointed as king. It says that one night God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." I think that's one of those blank checks that many of us hope for. God comes to us and he says, "Anything. Ask anything and I will give it to you." Solomon responds in verse 9, 1 Kings 3. "Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? For the Lord," and then it says, "the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom." So Solomon comes and he says, you've asked me to reign over Israel, reign over your people, and I cannot do it in my own understanding. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your understanding. Friend, if you want to reign in life, and you're going to try to do it in your own, not going to work. You need the wisdom of God. You need the guidance of God. And then God responds and he says, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and you've not asked for a long life or for wealth or for the death of your enemies, I will give you what you have asked for. And I will give you wisdom and an understanding heart such as no one else has ever had or ever will have. But I will also give what you have not asked for. Riches and fame, no other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and you obey my decrees and my commands as my father David did, I will give you a long life." Seeking wisdom. Seeking an understanding heart. Yes, we have this incredible promise that we can reign in life. But in the midst of that, we need the wisdom and the guidance and the understanding that comes from God. I'm going to skip a little bit forward. We are running out of time. Wisdom. Wisdom in how to handle the everyday practical things of life. And if we turn to the Word of God, it is incredible that the Word of God has a lot to say about a lot of subjects. And if we just read, and we just have a spirit that says, "I am open to learn from God, He will give me His wisdom." And if I begin to operate in that wisdom, I will begin to live as King Solomon. And next week we will unpack a little bit of King Solomon's reign and rule and what the effect of that was. Because sometimes we seek the effect. We seek the blessing of God, but we misunderstand the process of God. The process of God starts with Him, starts with His wisdom, seeking Him, and then all the other things will be added unto us. So what we're going to do this morning, as I've asked our pastors to share their favorite piece of wisdom. And it's just random thoughts, but the idea is to inspire you to go search the Scriptures and to see what God has to say about a variety of subjects so that we can walk in wisdom and so that we can reign in life. And we're going to start with you, Nelda.
Okay, so this morning, before I dive in, I want you to interact with me a bit, if you feel comfortable enough. So by a raise of hands, who of you think that you are pretty wise? Put up your hand. If you think that you walk in wisdom and you think that you are pretty wise sometimes in life, please put up your hand. Okay, so I'm glad that you feel that way. This morning, I want to chat a bit about hanging with the wise. You see, when we walk in life, we are pretty confident in thinking the way that we are behaving, our actions, all of that is wise. We are pretty confident in thinking that we are wise. But if you have to think about it, thinking about the wisdom that you walk in, do you think that you are walking in your own wisdom more than God's wisdom? Or are you allowing him to actually instill his wisdom and his plans in your heart? The first verse that I want to look at this morning is Proverbs 21, verse 2. It says, "People may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart." And this is so profound that it is in the wisdom books. Because I'm pretty sure it's not only myself, but most of us are pretty confident in the fact that we think we are right most of the time. Maybe more the ladies than the men. But we think that we are right, and the way that we do things are right. And we tend to focus on only the first part of that verse, and we forget about the rest, where it says that the Lord examines the heart. So maybe I want to ask you this morning, what is in your heart? Because a bit earlier in Proverbs, it says that the heart is deceitful. Our desires are deceitful. So what is in your heart? Is it wisdom? Or is it maybe pride? Because you think what you say and what you do is the correct way. The second verse is Proverbs 21, verse 5. It says, "Good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts leads to poverty. And I've grown up with the saying that says, the choices you make today, you have to live by tomorrow. Meaning the choice that I make today, I'm going to reap the consequences of tomorrow. In your life, are you reaping good consequences? Or are you feeling that you are suffering? Are you confident in your choices? Do you feel that it is good? Because we all have made some bad decisions in our life. But luckily, thank God, that's in the past. And we don't have to walk in the past. We walk in the future. And I think when we have to reign in life, and in order for us to reign in life, it also has an effect on our choices. So now, quickly think about the five closest relationships that you have in your life. Take a quick moment. Is it maybe with your kids, with your wife, with a co-worker? Who fits into those five relationships? Because what is interesting, I read it the other day, it says that you will become the sum of the five closest relationships in your life. Sure, that made me think. I had to take a moment and analyze, who am I allowing to speak into my life? Who am I trusting to have an influence? Is it positive? Is it more negative? Is it wise people? Maybe a bit foolish? Where do I fit on the scale? The last verse that I want to look at with this in mind is Proverbs 20, verse 19. It says, "Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatters." Thinking about good counsel, those five relationships, I call it a table of support. Who sits at your table? Do you have a friend that always supports every idea that you have, that is like your cheerleader? You have a good idea, woohoo! You have a bad idea, woohoo! They just want to stay in your good books. Unfortunately, with that, having a good friend that supports every idea will lead to failure, because they tell you what you want to hear. We don't want people around our table that tells us what we need to hear, because our ideas and our opinions, they're great. So someone who supports that, I'm all for it. So I want to encourage you this morning to really go analyze who those friendships are. And maybe if you have a lot of good friends, and you are suffering bad consequences for your choices, maybe you need to regroup and think a bit about who are you allowing to speak into your life. Maybe open up your heart, maybe one friend at a time. I won't suggest that all five of them should be these type of friends. But I like to call it a mean friend. Have a mean friend around your table. It's not someone who is mean just in personality. It's someone that won't be afraid to tell you what you need to hear. Telling you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear. So with this, I want to end and I want to ask you, really think about who are you allowing in your life? Because by reigning in life, we need to walk in wisdom. And hanging out with the wise is definitely a part of it. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Just quickly do this. Okay, brace your heart. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be your mean friend real quick. Okay. You're not going to want to hear this, but you're going to need to hear this. All right. So I am going to tell you what is not for the wise, right? So the dumb people. Okay, I didn't say that loud, so nobody can say that I did say it. Okay, so I want to talk about alcohol, all right? Because it's a very controversial topic for many people, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be taboo. It shouldn't be something, we shouldn't shy away from conversation, all right? So I want to start off by saying that alcohol was never strictly forbidden in the Bible. However, God does warn us, and he urges us to be wise against it, all right? So I want to read from Proverbs 20, verse 1. I'm going to show you with a couple of Proverbs verses because it's the best book in the Bible, no doubt. All right. Wine produces mockers, and alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. So here we can see that the overindulgence leads to what? Destruction, right? If we're not wise, what do? We make dumb decisions, okay? Then we act like the cheerleader. We support every idea all the time. But if we drink, we cannot be wise. So what's the opposite of that, all right? I want to read another verse from Proverbs. So again, best book in the Bible. Proverbs 31, 4 to 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. And in the Amplified, it says, again, it is not for kings. To emphasize the point, it is not for kings. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. So, as sons and daughters of the Almighty God, the King of Kings, we can consider ourselves as royalty, correct? Anybody want to disagree? I'll come fight you. Right? So we are royalty. Now, we are kings and queens then if we are royalty, right? So is it then for us to desire this strong drink? Is it for us to sit there and desire the thing to bring us joy instead of allowing God to bring us that joy? Is it for us to consider the alcohol to help us to feel happiness, or should we come to God for that happiness? So we must reign in royalty, okay? So in life, as Pastor Craig is telling us, we must reign in life. We must reign in life as royalty, all right? 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. A couple of you are going to hoy this verse back at me. Yeah, but Pastor Mark. So don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you are sick so often. But Mark, this defeats the whole purpose of what you're saying. We're allowed to drink. Okay, I don't know whose voice that is, but it's someone. All right, it's Auntie Sarah. I don't know if there's a Sarah here, but it's not you, Auntie Sarah. It's another Auntie Sarah outside of church. All right, so here we can see that Paul told Timothy, listen, your boy, drink a little bit of wine. Now, there's obviously context behind this. Back then, do you think Dr. Luke, you know, Luke was a doctor, by the way, do you think he had medicine? They only had herbs. They didn't have penicillin. They didn't have any antibacterial nonsense. They didn't have Savlon like we have or Dettol, you know. They were suffering. But now this guy has a stomach bug and he's sick. And the water that they have, they didn't have proper sewage removal places like we do, right? They didn't have clean water. And what happens if you drink water from a bottle? Ne? Yeah, you're going to turn into Timothy, right? Maybe not as holy, but, you know. So, Paul told this guy, listen, drink a bit of wine. But notice he says a little bit of wine, just to help ease the pain, just to help get rid of what's inside, just a tiny bit. All right, so Auntie Sarah, suck it. Okay, so Romans 14:21. It is good to do the right thing, not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that offends your brother and weakens him spiritually. So I want to draw a quick story. Imagine I'm not a pastor, okay? Are you imagining that? What should I do to make you not, okay? I'm not a pastor. So imagine I take a friend with me, and this friend's an alcoholic, or he used to struggle with alcoholism, okay? Now I take this friend and we go to a bar, and we're partying, we're hoying it, man. He's dancing on tables, I'm doing handstands, we're going crazy, okay? And this guy drinks a bit too much. Now he goes home. He climbs in his car and he starts driving. One of two things could happen. Firstly, as he's driving intoxicated, he could get into a major car crash, potentially killing a family, right? He could take innocent lives with him because he was unwise, right? Another scenario, by God's grace, he gets home, but now he doesn't know how to regulate his emotions. So now what does he do? He goes to his wife and his children and he beats them. So in that scenario, who was the unwise person? Both of us. Because why would I allow that to happen? Why did I not do the right thing? Why did I not abstain from the alcohol, knowing that my friend might has a struggle with it? All right? So we've become so selfish in our way of thinking when it comes to habits and addictions and things like that. So I don't smoke, but somebody else here smokes. Now, if they want to get over that and if they want to work through it, and now I'm coming and I'm standing next to them, I'm smoking, what's going to go through their head? Listen, boy, I'm trying here. I'm trying to stop, and now you're tempting me again. What's going on with you? So if I wanted to be selfless, what would I do? I wouldn't smoke in his presence, right? Or if my friend struggles with alcoholism, I wouldn't drink in his presence. Or if someone's afraid of bones like the new, I think it's Nando's or Chicken Licken advertisement, I wouldn't break a bone next to them, right? I wouldn't tell them to go break a leg. I'll be considerate of their needs and their struggles so that I don't offend them or weaken them spiritually. So at the end of the day, to reign in life, we must be wise. And in order for us to be wise, we must also become selfless and be considerate of those around us. So reign in life by being selfless and wise for your fellow man.
If we want to reign in life, we also need to know how to relate to others and interact with them. And I want to read from Proverbs 26, verse 17 to 20. Interfering in someone else's argument is as foolish as yanking a dog's ears, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, "I was only joking." Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. I don't know if you've ever tried to yank a dog by its ears, but I think if you're wise enough, you will know if you did that, it will bite you. And that's the same thing. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone interfering in someone else's argument, how the two having the argument will turn on that person. So don't get involved, don't meddle in other people's arguments. When someone lies to their friend and then just pretends that it was a joke, it's just like taking a gun and randomly starting to shoot people. When you do that, you are stirring up strife and contention, and that's not for the wise. The only way to stop things like this is to stop it. If you don't add fuel to the fire, it will literally go out. So don't meddle. Don't lie, don't gossip, just stop it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23 to 26, Paul says to Timothy, again I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. So just getting involved in other people's arguments is a trap, and be very careful of that. Or stirring up strife is a trap. In Romans 1, verse 29 to 32, strife is listed among all other kinds of unrighteousness that you can think of. And it says that people who do things like this are without understanding, they don't have a conscience, they are faithless, heartless, and loveless. And this does not sound like people who are wise, much less people who are reigning in life. In Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, Paul warns us that just as drunkenness, strife is also a practice of the flesh and not something for spirit-led people to do. Strife has nothing to do with God's kingdom. It doesn't belong there. But I want to read James 3, verse 17 to 18, and just end with that to show you how to reign in life in our interaction with others. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness.
And so we can continue and continue if we had time. And we could give everyone in this room 5 minutes to speak on the piece of wisdom that they cherish or live by. And we can hear the stories of how that piece of wisdom has impacted their lives and caused them to reign in life. Jesus himself speaks about wisdom, and it's a passage that we know so well. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follow it is wise. Matthew 7. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock, though the rain come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it was built on bedrock. What is this wisdom? This wisdom simply is listening to the teaching of Jesus, listening to the teaching of God, opening the Bible. John 1, verse 1, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. We have the incredible privilege today of having so much access. You can literally take out your phone right now, and you can read the Word of God. You can delve into the wisdom of God. But anyone who hears my teachings does not obey it is foolish. So that does not mean this person does not have access to it. That's not the problem. The problem is that this person, the problem is not that this person does not know what God says. It says he hears it. He hears the teaching, but he does not obey it. And that makes him foolish, like a person who builds on the sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. In James 1, it says, do not just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. Nice way of saying you are foolish. A nicer way of saying you are a fool. If we hear the word of God, as we did this morning, and we choose not to respond to it, we are fools. We are foolish. We are unwise. And it will lead us to a place where we will not be able to reign in life. I want to close with a summary of what we've done so far. I want you to understand how these things fit together. We started out by looking at the insecurity of Saul, his inability to lead in the place where God has placed him because of his insecurity. We're not told what it is, but he was not secure in that. He hid among the baggage when he was supposed to be anointed as king. We looked at the story of David. Tell me about your father, Saul said to David. The fact that our identity is formed by our parents. Janelda helped us this morning. Our identity is formed by our five closest relationships. People around us who speak into our lives. And if our identity is not secure in Christ, we will not be able to rule and reign. David was secure. And because David was secure, he said, who's this Philistine? This uncircumcised Philistine who dares to insult my God and my people. He was secure in who he was, and he took on that battle. Remember Saul's disobedience, his partial obedience? David, who had to wait, who had to be patient. Sometimes in patience, we need a lot of wisdom. Last week, we looked at David, the great warrior who conquered, who battled. And today, wisdom. The wise will reign in life. And I want to encourage you to begin to put into practice. To not just sit here and hear about Saul's insecurity and not doing anything about your insecurity. Not to sit here and hear about David being patient in the years between being anointed as king and actually becoming king, waiting for the promise of God, and you don't implement that in your life, then you are unwise. Whatever might have spoken to you over the last couple of weeks, just hearing it is not good enough. Just being able to tell the story to someone else is not good enough. We need to do it. We need to implement it. And then we will be wise and we will build on the rock. I think it's a picture that so speaks of reigning in life. Being on that rock. And the winds come and the storms come and the rain come and the floods come and you stand secure. You are reigning in life. Or the other picture. The smallest thing happens, your life falls apart. Because you have not built on this wise foundation, taking the word of God, hearing what it says, and implementing it. I want to ask you this morning I'm not going to pray for you. I'm pretty sure you know how to pray. Take this message, go speak to God, ask him about what you need to implement. This morning, I want to ask you if we can pray for the students, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Any of you live in this particular area around church, you will have the privilege of seeing many students walk around. But you will also have a sad heart if you see what they are carrying in their hands when they walk back to their residence. And I do not exaggerate. Often, it is two young men carrying a whole crate of beer between them as they walk to their residence, from the liquor store over there to their residence over there. My daughter studied Northwest last year, and one of her lecturers, so this is not second-hand information, told them that the liquor store actually contacted the university. So you need to look into this. The students are struggling. They are not making wise decisions. And if you live anywhere in this area, you will know that it is a wonderful, peaceful area from about mid-November until the beginning of February. And the only people who are missing is the students. Because as the students come back, the parties start and the noise start. And so often, it is because of the alcohol and the misuse of alcohol. I want to ask you, can we stand as a community and as a congregation? And can we intercede for our young people? Father, we thank you for the wisdom that we find in your word. It's clear from your word that you do not forbid alcohol, but it is abundantly clear that you warn about the dangers of it. The dangers of offending someone else who might be struggling with it, and the dangers just of the dangers of misusing it. So, Father, we pray for our students who live in this area, who study in this area, who we want to enjoy life in this area. Father, but we ask you to be gracious. Would you work in their hearts? Would you cause wise people to come around them and counsel them against the blatant abuse of alcohol in their lives? Father, we pray for the establishments in this area that make their money, literally by sending young people on a path of destruction. And I'm not quite sure what you pray, but we pray for them, Lord, that you would intervene, that you would bring a change and a shift in their hearts. We pray for residences in the area, for leadership at that residence to stand up and to implement rules and procedures regarding the use of alcohol so that our young people will be saved and spared. We all shocked when we heard the news of the car accident last year, and I think it was five students who passed away. No one actually spoke about the cause of that. Students who travel over weekends from party to party, and we are saddened when they die. Father, we want to trust you for the salvation of the students in this area. Those who study at a number of institutions around us, may they find Jesus. May you be the one to transform their lives, rescue them from the reign of death, bring them to a place where they can reign in life. Father, we pray for us in this community. We have lecturers here with us. We have landlords here with us. We have people who move around in the community at the shops. God, would you empower us to take up this battle and to say we will not allow this generation to go down this way. And we thank you for that. We pray that as we go from this place, you would lead us in your wisdom. Help us to hear your word and to implement your word. Help us with that, Holy Spirit. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.